Kaya, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew FPS, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Eli Craig smashed onto the slasher scene with his genre-defying comedy event, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, and he's back with another slasher that upends expectations, Clown in a Cornfield. Clown in a Cornfield is based on the first entry in Adam Cesare's Friendo series, which chucks a group of teens into the mayhem of a Midwest American town, where they find themselves picked off by a growing group of killer clowns. Eli Craig then takes that terror from the page and supplants it brilliantly with satirical and savvy stunts, making one of the most enjoyably subversive horror film events of the year. It's also one of the most timely too, as it's a horror film about the flyover states of America, yet it's shot in Canada. And that added layer of political devilishness is one of the things that I ask Eli about in the following interview. This chat is an open one from Eli, with the horror director talking about the journey of Tucker and Dale vs. Evil from being an unseen flick to a cult classic which has fans demanding a sequel. Eli also talks about the journey of adapting Adam's book for the screen before making a statement for horror film fans around the world, myself included. Namely, that if you want more Clown in a Cornfield films, then go and see the first one in cinemas. And for Aussie audiences, you'll be able to do that very soon. Clown in a Cornfield makes its Australian premiere at Fantastic Film Festival Australia on 26th of April at the Lido in Hawthorne and the Ritz Randwick. It is then unleashed nationwide on 8th of May. This is a film that you want to see with a screaming audience. If you want to find out more about what we do on The Curb as well, head over to thecurb.com.au. We're a completely independent and ad-free website that lives on the support of listeners and readers just like yourself. Visit patreon.com/thecurbau, where you can support our work from as little as $1 a month. Here is the trailer for Clown in a Cornfield, followed by my chat with Eli Craig.
It's time to sweeten the day with the marvel of Bay Penn Bran Corn Syrup. That's right, a little drop of Bay Penn makes everything better. Just take it from Friendo.
Hey, check it out, it's Friendo!
Everyone's favorite clown. Now, tell me, folks, are you a friend of Friendo? I know I am.
What the fuck?
We're gonna die.
And remember, kids,
never fuck with Friendo.
So much for your time, and thanks for your films as well. Like Tucker and Dale, you know, as you are well aware, as the mind behind it, is like such an iconic film, and slasher has kind of changed the discussion of how we engage with slasher films in a way. And then to see Clown in a Cornfield come out and just kind of continue that adjustment of how we engage with slashers is a delight. Wow. Can you talk about that kind of notion of building slashes for a modern audience?
Well, you're putting things in context that aren't quite in context for me yet. So that's sure. Nice to hear, but I'm just a guy, you know, trying to make another film. I think that Tucker and Dale, you know, now I can look back on it and feel so proud of it. It was really disappointing to me because I felt from the bottom of my soul that this movie was going to be a cult classic when I made it. And I couldn't believe it would be anything but. That's kind of how I have to believe in all my projects. But that was my first feature film, and I was sort of naively just thought it would be a smashing success. And we did play at some great film festivals, but we didn't get great distribution. And when it was released, it kind of landed with a thud. And I just, for years, it kind of just went away. And it came back, you know, and it's sort of so fitting the way it did, because the films I loved and I was playing toward it as it was like Evil Dead 2 and these things that kind of became hits from the DVD years later. So it actually became everything I wanted it to be. It just took a lot more time than I wanted to give it. But I'm so thrilled that people look at that film as being so important to them, because it was equally as important to me when I made it.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's a delightful film. And then, yeah, with Clown in a Cornfield, again, it's like the continue that conversation of how we engage with these genre staples that, you know, slashers have been around for decades and decades. To, you know, to provide kind of a revision of that format has got to be really difficult. But there's something delightful about playing with it, I imagine, from a directorial perspective of going, let's just put a different spin on it.
Well, I love like playing with what I'm trying to do is play with an audience's emotions. I'm playing with my own emotions, and a lot of the way I think you play with emotions is through expectation, right? And it's the same with Tucker and Dale. It's a reversal. You're trying to set the stage for these tropes of what's to come and maybe lull the audience a little bit into thinking, oh, I've seen this before and this is my comfort food. But it's going to be so boring because I know exactly what's going to happen next, and try to turn it around. And that, to me, like, it's a very interactive experience. It's not me telling a story. It's the viewer also feeding into that story that gives it its surprise value. And so that's fun.
Yeah. And I imagine as well, like, I didn't know that Clown in a Cornfield was based on a book until I saw it at the end that it was based on a book. And so I'm like going to dive down that rabbit hole of that unexpected slasher in a book format. Can you talk about your interaction with the book and just getting to see that this was possible in that kind of format too?
Yeah, I mean, look, I went through some time after Little Evil, which was released by Netflix in like early 2018 or at the end of 2017. And I just wrote a lot of scripts that were very unique. I did a horror musical comedy based on a college campus. And I wrote people out in the woods, like a corporate retreat gone bad. And I wrote about, anyway, all kinds of unique things. Mm. But when I read Adam's book, what I was always trying to do next was like something that was upping my game with horror and suspense, but still keeping a certain sensibility that had like comedy in it and it didn't maybe take itself too seriously. Because I hate it when a movie just thinks it's so self-important. And there's a part of me that is very irreverent to film, like, in a way. I want to play with it. I don't feel so precious with it. This was an opportunity when I read that book. I thought there's some stuff in the book, as you read it, you'll see that reverse those tropes too. And I thought I could lean in a lot with that and maybe add my touch to it. And fortunately, Adam Caesar loves the movie. So when the author loves the movie, I feel like I did him justice as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's again, like, I'm excited to go down that rabbit hole, but I'm also excited to hear what the audience reactions are. I know it's just had a screening, and seeing the reactions on Blue Sky has just been phenomenal, and getting the responses has got to be great too. What does it mean to have that kind of immediate reception?
Well, this was not, like I said, a studio film. This is very independently produced, and we didn't have much money. So there was no test screening. Aside from my family and friends, there's no big crowd. And, you know, sometimes you look at your family and friends and you don't totally trust them because they have to say nice things. So, you know, the first time I really saw it with a crowd was at South by Southwest, at the Paramount Theater with 1200 people there. Wow. And so it's incredibly nerve-wracking to see what your expectations, if your expectations for it meet the reality, you know, and just how it plays in front of people. And I have to say that first screening was as good as I could have hoped. Like, people were laughing almost too much in the spots, like sometimes walking over the next line. People were cheering with the kills and really with my lead character, who I wanted them to be engaged with and kind of fall in love with, Quinn Maybrook, who's played by Katie Douglas. So it was really as good as I could hope for. And I'm just I work so hard on these things that my job is always finding the flaw, trying to make things better, trying to just be real with myself. and always gut check what I'm actually seeing. So I'm still gut checking myself. Like, we'll see how it plays. It played really well in a few three theaters that I saw. And I know that some people are truly going to love the movie. And as far as the mass crowd goes, I still don't know, but I think there's a heart to this movie that beats for sure.
Yeah. And usually I try and skew away from discussing politics on, you know, interviews, but the film does engage with some political subtext as well. And I imagine, like, for me, I love getting to see you engaging with that kind of stuff. And it feels almost a little bit accidental in a way that it's coming out of the time, you know, you shot it in Canada. It's about America.
Look, it's not accidental. I mean, it is not accidental. I also shy away from talking too much about it because I think what I love is for people to make their own discoveries, and it's not a message film, but it is a film with themes that mean a lot to me. And one of the themes is just, to me, I'm angry at I'm Gen X. And I feel like Gen X has kind of failed. I don't know what we've been up to. Nothing, really. And the baby boomers have just ruled the world since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And they've really just sort of been harvesting the world through greed and corruption, and especially now. And so I thought Clown in a Cornfield and the idea of who Frendo is and where he comes from, that he came from this like mascot for a brand of corn syrup made in America, made in American cornfields. And he was this 1940s optimistic, hopeful clown selling corn syrup to kids, which is basically BS, right? Corn syrup is not good for you, but they used to think it was. And so there's this sort of duality to it. You know, eat your corn syrup, it's good for you. And sort of the lie, I feel like the lie of the American dream has kind of revealed itself. And so Clown in a Cornfield is a metaphor for that, if you want to get deep about it. But if you don't want to get deep about it, it's all there for just have a great time too.
Yeah. And like, that's what I love about it. Right. And I'm looking forward to seeing it with an audience and being able to experience that, you know, their reactions and all this kind of stuff. It's heading down to Australia. We've kind of talked about the American perspective. What are your hopes and dreams for an Australian audience being able to engage with this film?
Well, I think that, you know, slasher movies work worldwide, and there's some fun in watching people play with those tropes. But also, America is very easy to make fun of right now. And I think there's some delicious satire in this about American society. And I want people to have a sense of humor also about this dark time we're going through. And I think it's keeping a sense of humor is very important. So it's like, I made this movie about this incredibly dark time these kids are going through as a metaphor in a way for our incredibly dark time. And also it's funny because life is still worth laughing at.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wonderful. Now, not to put pressure on you, of course, I know that there's multiple books in the series. Is there a contingent on how well this film does, or what, you know, hopefully we'll get more and more films is basically, I am putting pressure on you. I want to see sequels.
All right. Well, thank you. I mean, I sort of disappointed my fans with Tucker and Dale by not being able to pull off a sequel, but they weren't there for me when it came out. And that was the hard part, is that like when a film opens in theaters, the box office matters to the producers. Like, it just does. And it becomes much more difficult to find the financing for a film if it doesn't really play well at the box office. So, you know, I've grown to be a little bit jaded because I've been through a lot now in my 15 years in the business. So there's a part of me that's like, I'll believe it when I see it. But I do think that Adam is Caesar. You have to read his books because he's also just a fantastic author, and the way he's playing with tropes and bringing life to these characters is wonderful as well. So I would love ultimately to honor his books with a sequel if possible.
Yeah. And I mean, selfishly, I know it's not all about me, but I want to see it too. Like, it's okay that we didn't get a sequel to Tucker and Dale, but I specifically want a sequel to this because I just want to see,
right.
I want to see what carnage goes on, you know,
like, well, if, if people start saying on my social media account that it's okay to not get a sequel for Tucker and Dale, but they want to see a sequel for this, I will feel like I can finally be on social media again. So,
okay, great. Good. I'll try and make it a safe space, you know, one person at a time kind of thing. Yeah. Eli, it's been a delight to be able to talk with you. It's been a delight to be able to watch your films and see, again, you kind of poke and prod and change horror in a way that is really fun and engaging. And as you're saying, cool. Like you can engage with it on a deeper level or on a surface level and still have a good time. So thank you so much from me to you. It means a lot. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Really nice to meet you. Thank you.
Likewise. Cheers. Okay. All right.
Hey, thanks for listening to this chat with Eli Craig about his film Clan in the Cornfield, which is out in Australian cinemas on 8th of May. For other interviews and reviews, visit thecurb.com.au. I'll see you on the next one.